Well, we continue this morning with our series that I've titled, Don't Look Back. And today our scripture lesson comes to us from the book of Genesis, and I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to begin with verse 16 and read down through verse 26. If you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to follow along. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from Genesis chapter 19, beginning with verse 16. Lot was still hesitating, and the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, "Run for your lives, and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." "Oh no, my lord," Lot begged. "You have been so gracious to me and saved my life, and you have shown us such great kindness, but I cannot go to the mountains. Disaster would soon catch up to me there, and I would surely die. See, there is a small village nearby. Please let me go there instead. Don't you see how small it is? Then my life will be saved." "All right," the angel said, "I will grant your request. I will not destroy the little village. But hurry, escape to it, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." This explains why that village was known as Zoar, which means little place. Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for the opportunity we have to be in worship today, and we thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved in this gathering thus far. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. And especially, Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And Lord, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts. That what you have to say to us today, may it penetrate our being. May it enter the inner reaches of who we are. May it be more for us than just words of information. But indeed, Lord, we ask that you would grant us today words of transformation. And as we come to you, as you are found present in your word, may your words transform us. And all this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, saying, Amen. You know, several years ago, I had decided that I was going to exercise, I was going to eat right, I was going to do everything right that year. And one of the things that I'd always wanted to do is I always wanted to bike. I always wanted to ride a bicycle. And I bought this brand new bicycle. I got it tuned up. I got all the clothes that you have to have, you know, like those little funny looking shorts and the jersey and all of that. And I had the helmet. And I was so excited about being able to have this bike. The first couple of times I went out on the bike, I lived a little bit north of here, and they were not used to seeing people out on bikes. And sometimes what would happen is that you would feel the whoosh of the car as it came beside you, even though there was nothing on either side of the road. And I soon learned that you had to be very, very careful, because the whole idea of bikes sharing the road with automobiles and trucks and things was not known in this community. It was not known. And so I got into this habit where every time I would hear something, I would look back over my shoulder to make sure that I wasn't about to get run over. Because the first few times that a big, huge mirror on the side of the truck almost brushed my shoulder, I thought, you know, I need to be careful here. I need to watch where we're going. And I'll never forget, one day I was out, I was 5 or 6 miles away from the house, and I'd gotten out, and I looked back because I knew that there was a truck barreling down on me, and I was about to get run over. And as I looked back, there was nothing. But then when I looked forward, I noticed that I'd gotten a little too close to the edge of the road, so much so that the front tire of the bicycle was just about to go off the edge of the roadway. So I thought, wow, I better do something about this. So I thought, what should I do? Well, let's take the handlebars and yank them and get back over in the road. The problem was the front tire was already off. So when I did this, I flipped over the handlebars and ended up out in the middle of the road. And I got up. Both of my knees had no skin. They're bleeding. Both of my hands, even though I had bought these little gloves that you have to protect your hands, I forgot to put them on. No skin on either one of my palms. And I had to go all the way back, pedaling as fast as I could to get back home. And when I got back that day, you all, I'm not kidding about this, Kim Potts, my wife, thought it was the absolute funniest thing she'd ever seen when I came in. And here I was. I was in pain. I was bleeding. And she thought, oh, this is so funny. You go out, you get this bike, you do this thing, and what happens? You come back and you're, you know, you had a bike wreck. And I was a little too old for that anyway. But it reminded me that it is dangerous to continue to look back. It is dangerous to continue to look backwards. You know, one of the things that when I was teaching Hannah, my daughter, how to drive, I said, you know, don't always be looking in the rearview mirror because it's more important to know where you're going. It's important to take a look in the rearview mirror every now and then, but if that's what you're doing, you're going to run off the road. You're going to run into something. And nowhere do we see this present in Holy Scripture, I think, this idea of not looking back more than we see it in the story of Lot, and particularly in the story of Lot's wife. You know, how disappointing it must be with the Bible doing what it does and giving us all these genealogies and all of these names and dates and places, that poor Lot's wife comes down to us with no name other than Lot's wife. Lot's wife. And you know the story. Abraham had bargained with God because God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he bargained with God and he'd asked God to spare Lot and his family, which God had agreed to do. So they're about to flee the city. The angel's trying to take them out of the city. And did you hear the very first verse in verse 16 that I read to you? Did you hear what it said? They know that the city is about to be destroyed. They know it's time to flee for their lives. And the very first line that I read you in the scripture, it said, Lot hesitated. Lot hesitated. You see, after all the things that had happened and all the warnings that they'd had and all the stuff that had gone on, here's an angel trying to lead them out of this city. Lot still hesitates. And the angel is emphatic. You have got to go. You've got to get out of here. You've got to go, go, and don't look back. Go. And still, what does Lot do? Well, we don't want to go to the mountains. We're afraid of the mountains. Can we just go to this little city? Finally, the angel's like, look, I don't care where you go. You need to get out of here. You need to go. You need to go. And of course, how poignant is it when we get to the last verse of this scripture, how poignant is it that Lot's wife had to look back? She had to look back. She had to take one final look. And the scripture says that she ended up being a pillar of salt. And one of the things I think we ought to point out here is it doesn't say that God made her into a pillar of salt. It says that she turned into a pillar of salt. But how sad. But you know, I think that this story has a lot to say to us, because too many times we are not present with God. We are not doing what we need to be doing because we are spending so much time looking backwards. We are spending so much time looking at the past and staring back that we forget that God wants us right here, right now. Now, a famous person once said, those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And I think that's very true. But I also think that if we spend all of our time in the past and all of our time looking back, we're not doing what God wants us to do, which is to follow Him and to continue to go forward. It's to continue to move where God wants us to go. And it's hard for us to go where God wants us to go and to see what God is doing now when we are so immersed in what's happening in the past. Because you see, the future that is going to come to us, the future that God has planned for us, the Bible says to us again and again that this future is a good future. It is God's future. That we are following Jesus Christ into this future and that we shouldn't be afraid to do that. But sometimes the future looks a little scary to us. And what we want to do, I think, is we want to look back and we want to make sure that we want to look back to the past because it's comfortable back there. It seemed really comfortable back there. You know, you think the Israelites would have known this by the time of the Exodus, but it fascinates me that after they get out of the slavery that they are in Egypt, once they get out into the wilderness and they're on their way to the promised land, the first thing they do is they start to complain. Moses, if you had just not freed us from slavery, God can't take care of us. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing to drink here. We're going to die. Why did we ever leave Egypt in the first place? And it's interesting to me because, you know, oftentimes what happened to the Israelites is what happens to us. Our bodies might be in the place that we're supposed to be, but we want to go back. We want to go back to the way things were. We want to go back to the good old days, as we talked about last week. Ecclesiastes, the teacher warned us about going back to the good old days. You know, it's interesting to me. There was a great story about a bishop, a United Methodist bishop, in about 1898, 1899, preached a sermon. And in this sermon, he was really concerned about the rapid progress that was going on and the way things that were changing around us. And in this sermon, he said, if God had wanted man to fly, he would have given them wings. Unfortunately for this bishop's name was Bishop Wright. And he had these two sons, Orville and Wilbur, who kind of had a different idea about whether or not people should fly. And as you know, they were the first people to fly an aircraft. And you see, sometimes I think that we are like Bishop Wright. We want to stay back where things were. We want to stay back in the good old days. We want to stay back there. And we don't realize that what God is leading us to and where we're going to is the place that God wants us to be. It's the place where we need to go. And if we get too stuck in the past, sometimes we try to recreate it, don't we? We want things to be like they were. One of the great experiences that I had in my life was the fact that I was able to know and have really good memories of my mother's grandparents, my great-grandparents, Homer and Alta Mae Foley. They were farmers. They lived in rural Kentucky. And I can, to this day, remember walking into my great-grandmother's house and smelling the fried chicken and the biscuits and the green beans and the fried corn. I can smell it. But my great-grandmother, Alta Mae Foley, her crowning achievement was this cherry pie. And of all the things that I remember about that, I can remember driving to there to get there and thinking, oh my gosh, I cannot wait until I get a piece of my great-grandmother's cherry pie. Well, she died in 1975 and has been gone for many years. But to this day, folks, I every now and then will be somewhere and I will see a cherry pie and I will go, oh my gosh, a cherry pie. And I'll buy it and I'll eat it and I'll be disappointed. I go, man, what is it? Why can't somebody make the same kind of cherry pie that my great-grandmother did? Well, the foolish thing about this whole scenario is that part of the whole pie experience was the fact of being with my great-grandparents. It was that experience. It was being in that, and there's no way for me to recreate that now. There's no way for me to recreate that experience again. I can't do it as much as I would like to. As much as I'd like to taste that cherry pie once again, I can't do that. And I've got to be satisfied with the fact that Kim Potts makes the most awesome coconut cake you've ever put into your mouth. It's great. And sometimes I got to think, man, I should be thankful about the coconut cake that I have now instead of the cherry pie that I had years ago, right? And y'all, that's the message that is coming to us through this passage in Genesis. Because I think the ultimate message of this passage is, if you keep looking backwards, if you keep longing for the past, you might end up just like Lot's wife. You might get to stay there. Ouch. If you keep looking to the past, if you keep hanging around, you keep wanting that, you keep looking back, you may end up as a permanent fixture there, which is not what any of us want, nor is it what God wants for us. So I think one of the things that we have to say to each other is that as we think about what God is doing in our lives and among us, there is no time like the present, like the now for us. Because just like God was with us in the past, and God did good things in the past, we know that God is with us now, and God is going to be with us into that good future that He is calling us to if we are willing to follow Him to that future. But sometimes, just like Lot, we are hesitant. We're not sure. We don't know if we want to go. We want to bargain. We want to say, well, God, you know, you might be leading me here. You might be leading me there. Really, I'd just as soon stay here. I'd just as soon stay in the place that is comfortable, that is familiar. But you know, for all of us, we have to move forward no matter what, because time marches on, doesn't it? Time marches on. What we know is that as we get older, we can't do all the things that we did when we were younger. But you know what? We're a whole heck of a lot smarter, aren't we? For the most part, in some ways, right? And I think that we have to accept the challenges that we have now, and we have to face those challenges and move forward into God's good future without constantly looking back, constantly saying, wow, what about the way it was then, rather than thinking about the way that God wants it to be now. So may we be people who don't get so caught up in looking back, who don't get so caught up in the past, who don't get so caught up with what is back there that we miss what is right here. And may we allow God to lead us. May we allow God to lead us into the future that He has for all of us, into that good future, that future that is filled with promises, that is filled with hope, that is filled with new things, you know? As much as I think about what it was like to walk into my great-grandmother's kitchen and to smell all that again, you know what? That food is long gone, and it's long been digested, and it's over. And I got to pay attention to what's happening right now, amen? I got to pay attention to what's going on right here. And this story about Lot and his family fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah after they had been warned, after they had had angels helping them, and still they hesitated, still they wanted to look back, still they wanted to go back, ought to remind us that our place is not in the past. It's not in the good old days. It's not behind us, but our place is right here. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is it God doing right here? What does God want me to do now? What did God want to do then? What did God do then? But what is God doing now? And what is God doing here? Because if we continue to look back all the time, what I found out was, you might look down and think that your wheel's about to go off the road, and when you try to make the adjustment, you end up with skint knees and skint hands and a bruised ego that your wife might not help you with too much, right? But if we continue to look forward with God and allow God to lead us, what we know is that our future is, is bright indeed. And as long as we keep following God and we don't constantly look back, God will never, ever, 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 ever let us down. But God, as Jesus promised, will always be with us, even to the end. Praise the Lord. Amen.